Emperor has been expecting you.
Welcome to our first installment of a new segment for the 501st Cast that we're calling the Detachment Briefing. Each episode, we're going to chat with members of one of the 501st Legion's detachments. Detachments are costume specialty groups for the Legion. They focus on certain costumes so that members and recruits have a place to go to find out details about the costume they're hoping to build. These aren't geographically based. They're actually all across the International Legion. You can be in any part of the world and join the detachment for the costume that you're interested in. For this episode, we'll be chatting with two members of the Jolly Roger Squadron. This detachment, which formed in 2002, focuses on the TIE Fighter pilot costume. So, welcome to the 501st Cast. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Jesse Jan, call sign TARD, operating number 3853. I'm the detachment leader, and I'm in the Midwest Garrison.
And I am TI-118, also known as Tom. I don't hold a real role in the detachment other than chat room keeper warmer guy.
And you're in the Midwest.
He's also a very talented artist.
Yes, I'm also in the Midwest Garrison.
As we mentioned, the Jolly Roger focuses on TIE pilot costumes. Hey guys, how many TIE pilots do we have in your detachment currently?
Well, currently we have 57 cadets. Those are people who have joined up and are actively building the costume. We have a newbie. We have 268 501st members, 10 of which are Ace of Aces. There are 3 administrators, 27 of our vaunted Black Widow squadron, and 7 command staff. Understand there's 362 TIE pilots approved so far in the Legion. That will grow in the near future.
We'll have to remember to come back. I want you to explain that Ace of Ace program a little later after we get through some of these basic details. What are the basic elements of a TIE pilot costume? What are the components that someone would need to get it approved for Legion membership?
Your main segments of the costume is, of course, the TIE pilot helmet, which can be one of the old Ruby's casts, or even older Don Post standard or classic action, or a fan-made helmet, of which there are quite a few out in the ether there for people to take advantage of. The flight suit, military-made or modified coveralls or fan-made. The black gauntleted gloves, generally leather or vinyl, but black. The 2-inch black leather Imperial officer's belt with greebly and square buckle. Jackboot-style boots. That is something you would see from the Eastern Bloc, East Germany boots that are basically out there for reenactors. A lot of people have taken advantage of them. Armor, the front, back, and shoulder pieces, and the chest box, and the left sleeve compad.
Code cylinders are optional.
And then now, you had the Baron Fell and other kind of expanded universe things?
Right. The only other costume that we are official with is the Baron Fell, or the costume for the 181st Squadron fighter group. And the only real difference is a variant of the chest box from the regular tie, as well as a gray flak vest, not unlike the Rebel Scum flak vest, but only in gray. Straps and the blood stripe down the sleeves and legs of the flight suit.
Okay.
Otherwise, the costumes are very similar. Much of this is, we do have illustrated in the Academy, the Imperial Flight Academy, on the Jolly Roger main site.
It sounds like there's not really too many components. It should be relatively easy to put together, and it sounds like some of these things are just available online. They're not stuff that you need to try to figure out how to hand construct yourself, like the flight suit would be something you could just purchase.
Well, not exactly, but okay. The modifications are all laid out and are pretty simple to do. Anyone who has any a sewing machine knowledge would be able to do them, or just find a good seamstress. But for the most part, a lot of the costume is off the rack. Like the boots, the gloves are readily available because you find them in motorcycle stores. But again, we've already done the research and have put all that information together in the Imperial Flight Academy online so that people can just find us by coming to the website and then go directly to the links. And not only are there illustrations, there are tutorials, as well as current links to the different vendor, real life vendors who handle the different wares.
I got a question. About what's the average cost that it takes to put a TIE pilot together?
Well, it all depends on, as with most costumes, how involved you want to get into it. You could go with a cheaper set of armor, a Ruby's helmet, and a standard flight suit, and you could probably get away with doing a TIE for, I'd say, $200. Now, if you want to get more detailed and closer to screen accurate, you know, obviously you're going to spend a little bit more getting a custom flight suit made, getting one of the better, more accurate helmets, and stuff such as that. But I'd say the basic range would be anywhere from, say, $200 to $450 range.
And I've seen people spend anywhere from $750 upwards to $1,400. I mean, you can get as nuts as you really want to, or your pocketbook will allow.
One of the nice things about the TIE fighter costume is that if you don't have the money to really invest in the whole TIE fighter costume, you get the boots, the gloves, get an Imperial hat, and your flight suit, and you're an Imperial crewman, which is basically a TIE fighter pilot minus the armor. Then upgrade to the armor and helmet later, and bingo, now you got two 501st costumes in one.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to ask, what are some of the types of advantages to getting the TIE pilot costume? And it sounds like that one of them is that you can do it in stages and, you know, still be approved before you're actually to the end of your road, so to speak. What other kind of advantages or disadvantages are you guys seeing with this costume?
Well, the one major one would be you can sit down. The welts from plastic bites minimal at best. The only other problem with it is that people call you Darth Vader a lot. Just happened to be all in black at the time, and it's a common misconception.
Yeah, and being all black, if you're out in any kind of event during the summer in the sun, well, we all know what summer and black puts together. But
heat prostration. You know,
yeah. But, you know, that's just a minor limitation to it. It's comfortable. It's a lot easier to breathe than most costumes because most of us actually put fans in the chest box and blow air through the hoses into the helmet. So it's actually much more comfortable than most of the helmets out there.
Yeah, I guess you kind of have that almost built-in system there to try to get some air into your mask.
Definitely.
And I know that you guys have some really cool programs in JRS, or Jolly Roger Squadron, where you honor some of the troopers who are really going out and doing tons of events. I actually have, I think, maybe the only one in my garrison, but the programs that we're talking about are the Ace of Aces and the Double Ace of Aces. So why don't we talk about that a little bit?
Well, the program of the Ace of Aces was put together for a twofold reason, not only to honor them for their work and getting the costume out there, but also to try to heighten the recognition of the costume. As we mentioned before, a lot of people call us Darth Vader, and we'd kind of like to get the TIE pilots to the point where if you see a squad of them walking down, say, six or seven abreast, it kind of tugs at the memory of the right stuff. Being pilots, you tend to have a swagger, so we'd like to try to keep that up. So the whole idea behind the Aces was that if you wore your TIE costume, either in full armor or off-duty wear, being without the armor and adding the cap, you would be given a kill, one of your markings. So what pilots will do is on our forum, they start a kill record chart, a thread for their specific history. And they tell us what the event was about, show us a picture of them at it, so everyone gets to enjoy what they were able to do. And when you hit 25, and we have 10 aces, as I mentioned, so far since the rebirth of the squadron and our new website back in April of last year, we have 10 people who have achieved that, and two who either are very close or have achieved double ace category. So that means they've reached 50 events. Now, we had people count their kills from 2005 on. So, yes, there are some folks who have been trooping much longer. But we wanted to get this thing started so that the new kids who come into the group have something they can shoot for. So it's not only the ability to, you know, wear the wings, the gold wings of an ace, which are, you know, one of the perks, but the double aces will have a gold version of the black of the Jolly Roger patch. So they'll be unique. It'll be something really to shoot for.
That sounds pretty cool to, like, reward people for showing up in their tie gear so that maybe they'll pick that over any of their other costumes.
I didn't know that Imperial Crew was eligible for that.
Yes, sir, they are.
Well, then, damn, I'm going to have to update because...
Oh, gee, all you have to do is read the page.
Almost every 3PO event I've done, I've changed out of 3PO into Imperial Crew. Nikki knows I was Imperial Crew at Philly.
Yeah, you see? There is an advantage to being a TIE pilot.
Hey, Tom, what's with this Black Widow thing?
Black Widows was something that was brought up by as an idea by some of the gals in our 501st group who had TIE pilot costumes. We shot the idea around a little bit, and we decided we'd come up with an unofficial detachment of the JRs called the Black Widows, which will be all the female TIE pilot in the Legion. It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, kind of a fun thing, and we came up with a logo with this girl looking all tough and, holding her bucket down, but still looking kind of cute, you know, and then she's got the black outfit, and then on the small of her back, she's got a little red diamond like the Black Widow spider does. Angela Lindsay's actually, like, the head of the Black Widows, and because it's an unofficial thing, you know, like you've probably seen at Dragon Con, the one girl, and I wish I could remember her name, where she's got the form-fitting latex costume, TIE pilot. If she's wanting to join, she can be part of the Black Widows because she's a female TIE pilot. And because it's not official, she doesn't have really any standards to hold to, you know what I mean?
We really wanted to give the gals something a little special. They have their own forum up on the JRS forum. It also gives the guys in the group, place where their wives can enjoy some time, as well as get in on some of the JRS swag, pilot swag, that we offer in the commissary.
And we would be very remiss if we did not give some name checks to our TIE pilots who are approaching their double ace of aces.
Well, Tom Koontz of your garrison has already supplanted that. He was one of our, if not our first, one of the first ace of aces, but he is our first double ace. And sneaking up on his six is Russ from the Pennsylvania garrison. And he, I must say, is one of the fastest aces I've ever seen. Must be very quick on the trigger because he achieved his ace in his first year as a tie. And he is now closing in on his double ace. So those rebels better watch out. He'll blow them right out of the sky.
I just trooped with Russ from Garrison Corita at the closing event for Where Science Meets Imagination.
We saw him just this week when he was in town.
He gets
around.
He
does get around.
Yes.
Now if we could just get Templar here, man, he'd be a triple ace in like a week.
Oh, jeez, that's it. We forgot about Jetwash. We also have TK.5 is our TI.2.5. A little call sign Jetwash, who has been making the rounds to Alaska, Europe. He's been all over the States. He's in Hawaii right now. And our 12-inch figure is making the rounds. And his handler, Templar, is pretty well known for getting some very racy photos for him. The critter has seen a lot of actions, and both in battle and in the commissary or in the base drinking halls.
Yeah, and Jetwash is actually going to be in Albuquerque during the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta here coming up in October, too. So maybe we can
along with myself.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on the Vader balloon. That'd be
well,
kind of cool.
That is the hope. That is the hope. I'm going to be bringing him when my wife and I do our bucket trip, which starts in Albuquerque for the week of the Balloon Festival. And we hope to get it on that Vader balloon and hope Benoit will... allow him to take a ride. The wife says she won't, but I just don't really want to try.
Yeah, Jetwash probably can get on the balloon. Probably no other troopers will. Maybe TK.5 because he's going to be here as well. But I think
Ballast.
I think only the little troopers are going to be able to ride the Vader balloon.
Oh.
Which is fine. Okay. To let everybody know where you guys are at on the internets, you guys are at www.jrsdetachment501st.org, and there'll be a link in our show notes as well.
Yes, make sure that the folks come and check that out, the Academy, our gallery. We also have TIE Tuesday chat room.
TIE Chat Tuesday.
We are in there every night most of the time, but on Tuesdays we invite everyone to come and visit with us in the hangar and just to come see what it's like with the Jolly Rogers and the camaraderie that the community of TIE pilots and 501st have. It's quite something and very enjoyable group of guys and gals to hang out with.
Sounds good. Well, Jim and Tom, I want to thank you guys for joining us on the 501st cast and kind of initiating this new segment that we're trying out. To all of our listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this segment that we've started. We're hoping to have each detachment on the show in turn, but please leave your comments in our show notes if there's any particular costume detachments that you're interested in hearing from. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
501st Legion is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. While it is not sponsored by Lucasfilm Limited, it is Lucasfilm's preferred Imperial costuming group. Star Wars' characters, costumes, and all associated items are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2008, Lucasfilm Limited, and trademark, all rights reserved, used under authorization.